Hi, it's Janine here, co-founder of Waterfall Wedding Decor and Wed Talks. Yes, and welcome to my first ever podcast. It's exciting. It's the first time doing this. We've decided to branch out and start doing the blogs in a podcast form just because we want to get ourselves out onto as many platforms as possible, really, hoping to, reach out to many. We hope you enjoy them. We hope you get something out of them. I'm going to be looking at doing other podcasts for other things. So watch this space, really, because there's going to be a lot of exciting stuff coming your way. Today's podcast is going to be talking about the 8 mistakes brides make when planning their own wedding. It's more of a guidance tool, to be honest. The only reason we just have to choose a punchy title just to grab your attention, really. That's what it is. We're trying to get your attention, trying to get you to click in and have a little read. So more of a guidance tool. The inspiration behind it was probably me planning my own wedding. I'm a little Miss Independent over here, tried to do most things herself, and I found the whole thing not too bad because I actually enjoy the organisation side of things, but I did find some of it very overwhelming, especially at the beginning, because you've just got so many projects to tackle and hundreds of tasks to get your way through. And we will go through this a bit more later, identifying the differences between projects and tasks, because that really can help you, and the importance of making sure you're not doing too many projects at the same time, because that in itself can be very stressful. But we'll talk about that more later in the blog. So stay tuned. And basically, really, this introduction bit is just to say, congratulations, first of all, on getting married. Like, you're going to get married, it's going to happen, and it should be really exciting for you. And we just want you to understand that this process, even though you're probably going to be feeling incredibly overwhelmed, like I was at the beginning, we just want to make sure that you just also enjoy it, and it doesn't have to be a slog. It can be good and it can be exciting. And make sure, like, when you're planning, big things to remember is, like, people around you, like, use them, abuse them, not so much, but just make sure that you, if you need some help with things, that your friends, they want to help you. Like, this is a special time, and it should be all about the bonding aspect as well between you and your friends during your engagement period, and as well with family as well. And make sure you just get the most out of it. You're going to have a great hen do, I'm sure. Mine was amazing. I had a band in the back garden. Like, my best friend did such a good job. I didn't know any of it either. It was all a surprise, and it was just I couldn't have asked for more. Like, it really was special. So you've got so many exciting times coming up. So this is just a little bit of guidance to make sure that you feel okay with it all, and to guide you in the right direction so it's less stressful for you. I hope you really enjoy the blog and find it useful. Feedback is always welcome. I'd really I'm open to any feedback whatsoever. So I don't know where you leave that, at the bottom of the blog or at the bottom of the podcast. I'm sure there'll be an area for you, or just get directly in touch with us. That's fine. So enjoy anyway, and good luck with your wedding planning. I will get straight into it now. Point one, so not understanding your budget. And why would you? If you've never ridden a bike before, how are you supposed to go and pick it up and ride it without falling off at least once or so many times? Like, it's totally unrealistic for a start, and it's just, you'd have to be a genius to just super talented. It's not realistic. So anyway, how do you get to know your budget and figure out what you need to save for certain aspects of it? Basically, it's straightforward. It's very straightforward. You can just ask Google. It really does know everything. There's so many blogs out there that are offering advice with budgeting. But the what if you really struggle with that as well, just to make it super easy for you, I'd find a budgeting tool for weddings. We've done one. It's available on our blog. It's based on all of the credible research that's been done over the years, by, well, they're national statistic, sorry. And what it is, simple, it's straightforward. All it is you'd have a look on there, you work out what your budget is. So for example, £20,000, and then it tells you what people have spent, what people tend to spend on venues, dress, entertainment, music, food, blah, blah, blah. This is actually something that is very predictable. The statistics have been collated on for over the years. They do it every year where they figure out what brides are spending their money on and what percentage of their budget goes on this and that. People are very predictable, and that is the norm. So people will generally spend about 50% of their budget on a venue and food. And then you'll probably spend about 10% of your budget on a dress, because that is what really is the most important thing to a lot of brides. So download our tool, not download, sorry, you can just access the tool. It's very straightforward to use, or find one on Google that does the same thing. And yeah, good luck. Point two, the dress. Be sure to give plenty of time when ordering your gown, because what many brides don't realise is that shops will order your dress in from a supplier. This can take around 6 months. If you order your dress later than this time frame, what they'll often do is put the order through as a rushed order, and they can charge you extra for it. This experience as well, it should be fun, it should be memorable. So book plenty of appointments at dress shops. Make sure you mix it up. Take friends, take family, take friends and family, just so you can get the most out of these experiences. This should also be the best part of your wedding planning, I think, because it's always fantastic to try on nice dresses, have some Prosecco with your friends. You can go out for lunch afterwards, you can go for some drinks afterwards. It should just be a really nice sociable day, and hopefully you'll find the dress. My advice would probably be to start looking pretty much straight away. Once you have got the ring on your finger, so to speak, I would say go out and start dress shopping, and just make sure that by 6 months you definitely have a dress on order. Point three, staying organised. This one sounds really straightforward, but personally, I struggle with it. I think most of us do. Most of us have such busy lifestyles these days, and we're all guilty of just putting things to the side and deciding we're going to deal with those later or tomorrow. Lots of people, it's always tomorrow. And my advice to you would be just try not to do this. Consistency is a big thing. Keeping everything wedding, maybe get a little folder. A little bit of advice would be as well to consider setting up an email account specifically for your weddings. I've seen brides do that. I think it's fantastic. This way you don't get all of your wedding emails, don't get lost. As well, get a diary just for weddings as well. Carry it everywhere with you, so then every time you go somewhere, you can just write down all of your appointments, etc. When you get home, don't keep it in your bag, because if it stays in your bag and you're writing stuff in there, it's no good if you're not checking it. So my advice again would be to get it out, leave it on your desk somewhere, just so it's visible. You could get some colourful pens. I know it sounds quite maybe childish to some, but it's quite, creative for others. But then what I would say is, if you're writing stuff in colourful bright pens, it's good because it jumps out the page at you. Anything that isn't urgent need of doing, right, maybe write it in red, and then it's, glaring at you to say do this, and then you might not ignore it. Also, I mean, I personally, this might be a bit OTT for some, but I actually have a chalk paint that I've painted on my wall in my living room. It's not for everyone, you could do it in any room as well, bear in mind. And I write my to-do list on there, because I am very much the sort of person that needs things in front of me, do this, do that. But then if you like the diary aspect, then you might prefer that. Also, what else is there? So I would also definitely recommend to consider downloading a timelined checklist, because these are very, very valuable tools to have. They just make sure that you don't miss anything. They tell you when you should be thinking about things and when you should be considering ordering things and doing this and doing that. And considering you've probably never planned a wedding before, a checklist is something that's got all of the information on there to plan a wedding, in order, when you should be doing it, easily done. Probably one of the first things that you should do when you get engaged, download a checklist. Point four is bridesmaids. So this one is quite close to my heart, really, because I had eight, and what I would really wanted was the mismatched look. So I found a picture on Pinterest. There was about 10 bridesmaids on there, and they were all wearing different shades of greys and peaches and creams, and it was beautiful. So I decided I would like that, and I showed the picture to my bridesmaids and asked them if they could recreate this. What I realised is that that was just very unfair on them and quite stressful, because what I'd actually done is just put a lot of responsibility on their shoulders, and I know now, reflecting on it, it was too much to ask of them, because after that, the weeks coming and the months coming and the closer and closer we were getting to the wedding, I was realising that people were really struggling with the colour scheme, because it's very difficult when to ask eight women that aren't all best friends themselves, who hardly ever talk, to figure this out and find a dress, and it was a challenge. So what happened ultimately is I ended up choosing their dress, and it was a multi-way, so kind of sorted the whole situation out, because people, women especially, we have different shapes, bodies, different sizes, and we all have preferences of what we like and see ourselves looking good in. And a multi-way dress is good for this, because you can wear it in different ways, a boob tube, halter neck, over the shoulder, everything. So it's really nice that I managed to please them all, because they all managed to choose a different style for them that they really, really liked. And as well, I'd taken the responsibility of telling them to find their own dress and make sure that I'm happy with it, you know. And so I don't recommend to be a bridezilla with your bridesmaids, because it's supposed to be a lovely, beautiful time. You're getting married and your best friends are happy for you and they want to stand by your side, and they, you know, I'm sure they feel incredibly proud to have been asked to be your bridesmaid as well. So what I would recommend is just be clear from the beginning what your aim is for your bridesmaid's dress. Be firm with, you know, because I know that sometimes you're not going to please everybody, so don't put too much pressure on yourself as well. And just basically choose it, stick with it, and then move on. Point five, guest lists and table plans. Right, so this one is probably one of the trickiest ones. I think people really struggle with table plans because you just want to please everybody. And trust me, this, you can spend a lot of time on this. You just shouldn't. It's really not a big deal. Most people are capable of conversing with others. And if you feel like there is somebody in your friendship group or family that isn't, stick them with people you know they will, just to be on the safe side. You know, we've all got those sorts of people within our friendship groups and families, and just respect that. Sometimes it's just nicer to put people together that know each other for that comfort, you know, when they're there, so they can enjoy themselves as well and not feel anxious in the big situations of weddings. But one thing I will say as well is that it's nice sometimes to mix it up. Like me personally, again, at my wedding I mixed some family groups up. I put my uncle and auntie with my husband's side of the family, just because I knew that they would get on. I just knew that they would, and they definitely did. So I think it's good to sometimes mix it up a bit. But if you're really struggling with things like this, there are examples online. We have one on our Pinterest page, just of a traditional wedding table plan. One thing that I will mention as well quickly, which I don't even know if I put this in the blog actually, probably should have, the ceremony seating. Make sure that you do have some name cards for like the front row at least of where you want people to sit, because this is something I didn't do until the night before my wedding. My
maid of honor highlighted the fact that I hadn't, and I just went into a bit of a panic, like, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think it was a big deal. They will just sit where they need to sit. And basically, I had to ring up my husband to be at that time to actually organise that. So he went to the venue and quickly sorted that out, and it was absolutely fine. But yes, just remember to write out some card names, even yourself. You don't need to get professional ones if you don't want to. And write down, pop them on the seats when the ceremony seats are set up at the venue. Just pop them on at the front, so when people walk in and take a seat on the morning, they know where to sit. And yes, guest list as well. I would say just be, again, confident with your choices and don't think about it too much. Like, if you feel like there is somebody on your guest list coming to the day that you think, oh, I'm low on, you know, I've got too many people coming, I can't bring this many people, and but this person, I don't speak to them anymore, and this and that, and don't invite them then, because the chances are, if you feel a certain way about somebody, you don't feel that close to them, they probably don't feel that close to you. So I'm sure they're not going to sweat it. And people as well, a big point to make, people understand, like, you have numbers, you can't invite everybody, but if you haven't got a limit on your numbers and you're quite a laid-back person and you just don't really want to push anyone off, so to speak, then I would just say invite whoever. It depends what sort of person you are.
Point six, overthinking. So spending too much time on the same projects and tasks can hold you back. It can increase your stress levels, just all sorts of negative things. So with this, you have, with your decisions, you just have to be bold and confident. Once you've completed the task, move on. Like, I know I keep saying it, but just move on. And even if you want to revisit it, do that, but just not straight away. Give it a few weeks and then go back to the topic and then figure it out. Just if you sit at a computer or sit on the same task all day, you're really going to get brain fog and you're not going to be looking at it with a fresh set of eyes anymore. So even ask for advice, like maybe get your partner, fiancé, to have a little skim over things and just check. But yeah, just take a break. A big thing that can, as I've said before, that can help you with organising your wedding is checklists. Just having something that keeps you focused on what projects and tasks that you've got to do, so you don't get sidetracked, you don't go off on a tangent and do other things that just aren't necessary. They're such a valuable asset and they just identify everything that you need to do, so you don't miss anything. And the fact that they're in a timeline order as well, most of them, it just really helps. So you can plan ahead. You can look at, like, oh, what have I got to do at 6 months, because now it's 8 months. And you could start putting things in motion, like, so you know what's expected of you. Point seven, working on too many projects. So planning a wedding is a big project and it's filled with mini projects and small tasks to get the job done. A mini project associated with planning would be like catering, the dress, music, entertainment, all of the big main topics associated with weddings. So the venue would be one as well. So what I would say to you, in order to complete like all of these projects, you've got to complete a list of tasks associated with those projects. So for example, phoning a catering company to book a consultation, that would be a task. And going to have the tasting session, again, would be another task. If you identify your tasks that you need to complete that will ultimately complete the project, hopefully you're still with me, then that will make life much easier for you and it will make the projects much less stressful. So if you can just identify tasks that need to be completed to ultimately push catering to one side and say, right, I've done that now and I'm one step closer to planning my wedding, then that will help you, because it's all about mindset.
we are creatures of habit, and what we need to do is try to instill good habits. And we love feeling good, and often when we're productive, that is one way of feeling good. And I would say it's just very satisfying as well. So when you list your tasks that you need to do to complete projects, what that will do is, when by just simply doing them, ticking them off, it just releases those endorphins, and it just makes you feel very, very satisfied for that day. Like, I've done it, I've done catering. And if you follow this rule for each project, so for each, the venue, catering, food, entertainment, the dress, and you have all your list of tasks that you need to do to complete all of them, which, can I say, are also available in wedding checklists, they pretty much have done that for you. So, because you might not know the tasks that you need to do, but these help you. That will help you throughout your wedding planning experience, and hopefully make the experience less stressful. Obviously, depending on deadlines, you might have to hurry some up, put the pressure on. But if you can, as I said before, try not to get bogged down with projects, all the same projects on the same day. So try not to try and tackle and complete two projects in one day, because what you can do, so if you're trying to make sure that you've done everything associated with catering and everything associated with your entertainment and everything associated to do with your food, can you hear how stressful, like, long it is to say that? It's a long process to, and unrealistic to complete it in one day, and you really should be revisiting them with a fresh pair of eyes a week later, or 2 weeks later, or even a month if you can. Point eight, the final point, but not the least important. It's one that's probably not spoken about much, and I think this is super important, especially in this day and age. It's support. So I don't know if you remember me saying earlier in the intro about turning to strangers for help. This is that stranger moment. So many of us wouldn't have even thought about this during the wedding planning stages, but actually, it's actually quite a good thing to do. So I'm not talking about going to see a GP for some support, because that's crazy. However, what I'm talking about is joining Facebook groups, things like that. Going to wedding fairs and events can also help. Like, your suppliers often put on events for themselves, for, you know, styling, or we do our photo booth one, for example. And then there's all sorts of things that people do, events for brides to attend just to get the experience and figure out what, you know, get some advice and inspiration for weddings. But what Facebook groups will offer you is, they basically, you can join them and there'll be other brides on there, and there'll probably be wedding suppliers on there as well. Like, we've got ours, Wed Talks, which is a small team of wedding suppliers and brides, and the focus is on the brides basically. And what we want to do is just have a little community with each other, and you can just let loose, you can talk anything wedding, you can ask for advice. Because one thing I will say is that not many people consider is the fact that the wedding suppliers out there have so much experience in weddings and knowledge, and we all know each other, especially locally. So you should really be asking people, but your suppliers, for other local suppliers. Like, who can I use to get the entertainment, or do you know any local DJs? Because if you're struggling to find them, and lots of people do just do things on their own when they're planning their weddings, you've got people next to you, or you know, you available to you, that are there and happy to help you. And you might be looking for a specific type of DJ or something. We probably know them, and we've probably met them at wedding fairs, because we all network, we all know each other well. So my advice to you is that joining a Facebook group, you can go on there and never talk and never say anything, and you can think, oh, that was rubbish. Or you could go on there and you could speak to the suppliers, or you could speak to other brides, and you can tell your funny stories, like, oh God, this happened to me. Also, what's good about them is, if you have an emergency with something, we can help you. We'll try. I'm not saying we definitely will, but we'll try our best. And we might, you know, if something falls through, we might be able to quickly sort something out for you, because again, we all know somebody, you know, and we all have access to that. So it's just
somewhere where you can go and you get the most out of it however you want to, you know, whether it's talking loads or not at all. So yeah, Facebook groups. So that's the end of the podcast today. I just want to say thank you to everybody, whoever is out there listening. Hopefully you get something out of this. If you don't, feedback is welcome. I'm always open to, you know, any subjects that you also want me to do a podcast on. Just, yeah, this is just your opportunity to give me some feedback, because I think it's really important. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. I'm Janine again. I'm the co-founder of Waterfall Wedding Decor, Wed Talks. Download our wedding checklist. It's attached on the blog that's associated with today's blog, 8 Mistakes Brides Make When Planning Their Own Wedding. The download is on there. It's also on our website. Yeah, basically, if you are looking for any advice for wedding planning, we're always here to help. And yeah, thanks for listening. Bye.